Good morning. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How's your New Year's going? So far, mine is going great. I feel really blessed. But I know that the reality of life is that 2019 will bring trials and tribulations for me. Hopefully, they won't be big ones, but they might be, and that is the nature of our human existence. We live in a fallen and broken world. Nobody is on top of the world every day. Everyone has his ups and his downs. Sometimes the world is sweet and full of promise, and sometimes it seems like our existence is just one more day laboring in the salt mines. Inevitably, we all will face times of discouragement. Today's reading is about three discouraged men. Four, actually, if you count Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who appears in the other gospel accounts of this story. They were fishermen, not recreational fishermen, but professionals, whose families went hungry and their incomes were lacking if there was no catch. Jesus had met them before. In fact, he had been to Simon Peter's house and had cured his mother-in-law of a severe fever. The particular day described in our scripture reading was a very bad one for the fishermen. They all had worked all night long and caught nothing. Now it was the morning after the night of failure, and the men were washing their nets so that they would be ready for the next night's work. There was a big crowd on the beach near where the boats were pulled up on shore. The crowds were listening to Jesus, pressing in upon him. I can imagine that the crowd was so big that it was almost like they were forcing him into the water. And so Jesus steps into Peter's boat. "Put out a little way from shore," he asks Peter. From the boat, Jesus continues to teach the crowds. After Jesus is finished teaching, he turns to Simon Peter and says, "Put out to the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, if you think about it, this appeared to be quite disrespectful for Jesus, a carpenter by trade, to tell a professional fisherman how to do his job. And Peter answers Jesus immediately by explaining the facts of fishing to him. "It won't do any good," he says. "We have worked all night and have caught nothing. There is no point to it." Jesus tells him to try again. Have you ever been there? You do your best, you work hard, and the results are zero. An important relationship goes sour, and there's nothing you can do. You watch a long-held dream slip away, and you can't save it. A project or a ministry you have worked on long and hard just won't pan out. Have you ever been in the place where all your wisdom tells you just to give up? I have. And the last thing you want to hear, the last thing you need to hear, are the words, "Try again." Peter and Andrew, James and John, they were not stupid men. They knew the lake, the inlets and the shoals where there were fish congregated, and the kind of weather you had to have to bring in a good catch. I suspect that their families had been working the lake for generations. They knew the time to fish and where to fish. And these men had gone fishing at the right time and at the right place and had come up empty-handed. "Try over there," says Jesus. over there in the deep water. Let your nets down for a catch." And I can hear Peter saying, "We have done everything we should have done, everything we were taught to do by our fathers and their fathers before them, but we have caught nothing." Yet Peter agrees, reluctantly and grumbling about it, I suppose, one more time to row out into the deep water. Why he did, we're not sure. Perhaps it was the overhearing the Spirit-filled preaching of Jesus. Or perhaps he did it to pay respect to the one who had healed his mother-in-law. After all, Jesus was already in his boat. He wasn't going to throw him out. Well, for whatever the reason, he agrees to do what Jesus asked of him. And you know the rest of the story. They threw the nets out from Peter's boat and engulfed such a great catch of fish that the nets began to break. They caught so many fish that John and James came alongside and helped them load the boats, and the boats began to sink. It was an amazing catch. It was where there should have been no catch, a catch taken at the time of day when there should have been nothing. There are many messages in this text. Today, I want you to focus with me on the catch of fish and the facts behind it, and what the whole episode might suggest about how we live our lives. I want you to remember what Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Master, we have worked and toiled all night long and have caught nothing. We worked all night and nothing happened. So what's the point?" I think the point is that when we are discouraged in our faith life or our service for God, we need to keep going. We need to walk forward in faith, even when things don't look good. When what is being asked of us, either as individuals or as part of a faith community, will not bear fruit, and we don't want to try again, and we don't want to risk one more disappointment, one more failure, we need to try one more time. We need to remember that Jesus is telling us, try again. Put out into the deeper water and let down your nets. We need to remember that we are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. Have you ever thought about how different the gospel message is than the message of this world? The world demands instant results and success. But in the kingdom of God, we are never under an obligation to achieve success. Think of all the parables in the gospels about reaping and sowing. The farmer plants a seed and assumes it will sprout and grow. But the weather cannot be controlled by the farmer. Therefore, the results are not a sure thing. So what does the farmer do? He plants. No matter what happened last year or the year before, he plants. Again and again, he works at it, with the ultimate confidence that even though last year he saw failure, seeds do grow and they do come to fullness. If we get bogged down and discouraged when we don't see immediate results, we often slide into a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure. By our complaints, we end up discouraging others, and we discourage ourselves. The task for we who are called to work for the kingdom of God is to work for the kingdom of God. More often than not, the results are ahead of us. I was reminded of this last Sunday during the service when it was mentioned a couple of times about how God had blessed our children's ministry. When Pam and I first started coming to this church, there was really nothing for the kids. But there were some very persistent women who had a vision. a vision that there could be a viable children's ministry at Calvary Baptist. And with God's help, they were going to do something about it. Frankly, looking around at all the people here who had gray hair, I was skeptical. But these women faithfully stayed the course, even when things didn't change too much. Their persistence inspired others to catch their vision. And most importantly, the church started to pray about this ministry. Now, all of a sudden, we seem to have kids running all over the place. And it is wonderful. What could be better than grounding these little ones in the faith? I'll give you another example. I recently realized that there is a ministry going on in this church right under my nose that I didn't know anything about. This particular ministry is one of hospitality. It is very quiet, but very faithful, and has been going on for years. I think it is the type of ministry where you really can't measure the results. Who knows what the Holy Spirit has done with this ministry? And how many lives have been touched? And there are many more of you that faithfully participate in other, often quiet ministries. You faithfully do what God is calling you to do without being able to necessarily see the results. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So let me come back to the main point. Sometimes we need to risk one more failure, to go and do what our common sense tells us cannot be done, and to try to do what we think will not work. Sometimes we need to exhibit our faith by our patience. Sometimes we need some molding and shaping by the Holy Spirit before God can bless the ministries that are before us. When Peter saw the miraculous catch, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." He did this not only because he was astonished at the miraculous catch of fish, but because he realized he was having an encounter with the living God. Peter acknowledged that he was sinful and felt incapable and unworthy of even being in God's presence, no less answering Jesus' call to be God's servant. In many ways, we are just like Peter, very ordinary people. Like Peter, we have no special training for the ministries that God sets before us. And just because God has called us, that does not mean that we feel adequate for the task. Peter and the others left everything and followed Jesus, not having any idea what the future would hold or what would be the results of their efforts. Truly, God equips the called. God does not call the equipped. But the most important characteristic of Peter is that he has a willingness to say yes to God and go forward in faith and leave the results in God's hands. When we say yes to God's call and willingly step forward in faith, it makes room for God's life-transforming grace. God's grace makes all things new. It makes us into the men and women that God created us to be. It allows us to experience the miraculous joy to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, actually being co-creators with him to build his kingdom. I like that line, so I'm going to say it over again. It allows us to experience the miraculous joy to be the hands and feet of Jesus, actually being co-creators with him to build his kingdom. And like Peter, let us always give glory, praise, and honor to him who brings the harvest. Never let us be prideful. Never let us assume that we have anything to do with the miracle of the catch. We faithfully scatter the seeds, but the harvest belongs to the Lord. What ministry is God calling you to be faithful to? Maybe it is to keep on praying for something that seems like the hopeless or the impossible. Maybe it is to keep on participating in a ministry that seems to produce few or no results. Or maybe it is to be faithful in the small but very important things the Holy Spirit uses to mold and shape us to effectively participate in ministry. Consistently praying, regularly reading the Bible, meeting in small groups, participating in worship every Sunday, reaching out to others with simple acts of kindness and service in the name of the Lord. Be willing to cast your net one more time. In your faithfulness, you will discover a life in which God is with you to accomplish his will through you. How awesome is that? Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again, so that each of us might have an abundant life, a full and rich life, a life in which we know and experience and share the love of God. It is a love which conquers the sting of death and ensures that in the end our labors are not in vain, no matter how many days our nets may come up empty. If we are faithful, no matter what happens, we will be ready when he comes again. And when in glory we meet him face to face, Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.